Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. I want to thank Sister Janet, Evangelist Janet Taylor, for helping me. I have a long, enduring schedule, and these days and times that she's teaching, it definitely benefits me. We want to thank her for coming on. She's going to let you know how to get a contact with her. She's going to tell you about her ministry. She's going to tell you how to give to your ministry. A laborer's not worthy to hire. That's right. We share here. Me and Sister Taylor, we ain't out here trying to grab money just to grab it. We laboring as unto the Lord, and we pray that God move upon your heart to sow a seed to this wonderful sister in Christ that I met, very strong in God's word, and I have a lot of respect for her. For the next 1 hour and 15 minutes, I give you the mic to Evangelist Janice Taylor.
Well, praise the Lord. Does anybody have joy? I can tell you one thing. I got joy. And I sure hope that if you know the Lord Jesus, you have joy too. All right, this is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live on Live Deliverance with Apostle Emmett Overton. But our ministry is Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. And we can be contacted at www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com, located at P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. Our email address is jet245@msn.com. Our phone number is 336-575-0206. If you'd like to get any of the music from this CD, including I Got Joy, the CD is entitled A New Beginning. You can get it by emailing me or by going to cdbaby.com, type in Janet Taylor, I Got Joy, or on iTunes. We will be happy to get this music to you. May God bless you, and thank you all for tuning in tonight. We have a very, very important topic that we want to, the Lord has laid on my heart to talk to the people of God about tonight. So I pray that you have your seatbelts on, because we're going for a rough ride tonight. But I think, as a matter of fact, I know in the end, all will be well. So let's just go now to the Word of God found in Matthew chapter 26. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 26. And our background scripture for this is Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 12. So in Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 36, I'm just going to read what the scripture says. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto them, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Let's go ahead and read from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, a very familiar passage of scripture, before we go into our subject and our lesson. Isaiah 53, I'm going to start at the second verse, although when I get down to, I'll just start at the second verse. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth not he his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Thank you, Jesus. Our topic for tonight is a place called Gethsemane. Now, for the believer, we have just come through the Passover season and celebrated Passover, Resurrection Sunday. For the non-believer, they celebrated Easter and had the Easter bunny and all the eggs and all of that foolishness. But for the believer, we celebrated the Passover feast, and we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. He rose on the third day, as he said. But before he rose, he was crucified. And before he was crucified, he had to submit a surrender to the will of his Father to go through the crucifixion. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what that was like, the agony that our Lord and Savior went through. You know, oftentimes we just talk about Jesus was crucified, but we don't talk about the agony and the pain and the suffering that he went through. We kind of just gloss over that. But I want believers to get a real picture of what our Lord and Savior went through so that you and I could be saved. Because then I believe you will appreciate your understanding, you will appreciate your salvation more. Glory be to God. You won't take your salvation so lightly when you understand his suffering. All right. So we know that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary on Golgotha's Hill, and Golgotha's Hill is called the place of the skull. But it was also in Gethsemane where he submitted to God's will and was crushed. Isaiah tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions, and that word wounded is best translated from the Greek into crushed. So he wasn't, I don't want you to think he just received a wound. He was crushed for our transgressions. And then the scripture says that it pleased the Lord to crush him. Now, the place of Gethsemane, I need to talk about the significance of him being in this garden at Gethsemane, because he was in the garden of Gethsemane, which was strategically located at the base of Mount Olivet. So here our Savior is in this garden of Gethsemane, which is a place where there was a community olive press. There was a giant olive press. And this olive press was where people went and crushed their olives, because you don't get the oil out of the olive unless you crush them. So Jesus is about to be crushed, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. But more than his body was crushed, he had to surrender. His will had to be crushed also. And that is where most of us miss the mark as believers. We don't want to surrender and submit our will to the will of God. But Jesus was willing. He was willing to be crushed for our transgressions. and to be bruised for our iniquities, and for the chastisement of our peace to be upon him, and to be beaten with stripes so that we could be healed. He was willing to do this. Isaiah prophesied about this 700 years before it happened. But Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world. So he knew why he had come. Glory be to God. He came to be crushed. Glory be to God. He came to be bruised for our iniquities. He came for this cause. Glory be to God. Now, I want to talk about the garden just for a moment. You see, the first Adam began life in a garden. It was the Garden of Eden. But the second Adam, which is Christ Jesus, came at the end of his life. So one began life in a garden, and now the second Adam ended. His life was ended in the garden. In Eden, Adam sinned. In Gethsemane, the Savior overcame sin. In Eden, Adam failed. In Gethsemane, Jesus conquered. Eden, Adam hid himself. In Gethsemane, our Lord boldly presented himself. In Eden, the sword was drawn. In Gethsemane, it was sheathed. So you see, there's a lot going on. There's a big difference in these two gardens. And God strategically planned it all. And I thank God because he is all wise. He knows what he is doing. So Jesus is in this Garden of Gethsemane. And I said, it is the place where he is about to be crushed, because this is where they have a community olive press. All the people in this town went there to crush their olives. And as I said earlier, you don't get the oil out of the olive until it is crushed. So Jesus went there to be crushed. He was going to be crushed by God. And Jesus asked God three times while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me if it be possible. But he said, not my will, Lord, thy will be done. You see, he surrendered to crushing. He surrendered to the plan of God. He surrendered to the will of God in this garden. He surrendered. The Bible says that he sweat great drops of blood. And that is called, I looked that up, that is called hematohidrosis. It's a very rare medical condition in which an individual actually sweats blood. It may occur in an individual who is suffering from extreme levels of stress and agony. So in Luke 22:44, it tells us that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. You see, this is the agony of the cross. Glory be to God. Now, the crushing is taking place here. It's going to take place on the cross, but he had to surrender his will, so his will was surrendered. You see, because the cup of the wrath of God was poured out on the cross, Jesus knew what was waiting for him. He knew of the agony that he would have to suffer. He knew that the sins of the whole world would be upon his body. And the Lord Jesus drank this cup for you and for me. And it amazes me that it was our sin and our cup, but he drank it for us all. And for the liars, for the thieves, the drug addicts, prostitutes, whores, rebelliousness, the murderers, rapists, child molesters, perverts, even homosexuals, Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath for us freely. He said, no man take my life, I lay it down freely. And he laid it down freely so we could drink from the cup of salvation. You see, without the cross, there can be no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. So when our sins went upon Jesus, God couldn't even look upon his sin and upon his son. And that is why he said, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, Jesus' death actually began in the garden. He denied himself, picked up his cross, and he followed God all the way to the end. You know, when I was a child, people used to sing a song, 99 and a half won't do. And that's true. That's true, because you've got to cross the finish line. The Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. You have got to finish your course. You have got to cross the finish line and to get the crown. Glory be to God. You see, Isaiah, he gives us a detailed description of what was to take place before it happened. So Jesus surrendered at Gethsemane so he could go to Calvary. You know, he surrendered his will. A lot of times people say, you know, I'm never going to do this or I'm never going to do that. But when it arises, when the situation arises, they do the very opposite of what they said. Why? Because they had not surrendered completely. They have not submitted to the will of the Father. Jesus submitted and he surrendered to the will of his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. So when he got to the cross, it was easy. And I won't say that lightly. It was easy because he had already surrendered. He had already allowed God to crush him in the garden. What was God crushing? His will. Glory be to God. He laid down his life there that dark night in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was betrayed and abandoned. He was left all alone. Nobody can go to the cross with you. You have to go to the cross by yourself. Nobody else can carry your cross for you. You must do it alone. You must decide now, because in the appointed hour, it will be too late. People think, well, I'm never going to take the mark of the beast. You must surrender to the will of God now concerning that. That's the same way so many people said they were not going to take the vaccine. And then the more the enemy talked about COVID-19, and the more people that died, and the more people, the more these deaths were publicized, people became afraid, and they surrendered. They submitted to what the government was asking them to do. But you have to have a made-up mind. Now, if we think about this, Peter told Jesus, I will go with you all the way. If you die, I'm going to die right there beside you. I'm going to die fighting right there beside you. But when the moment came and his life was on the line, Peter denied Jesus Christ. Why? Because his will had not surrendered to the will of the Father. But after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter was a changed man. And we know it because he preached the first message to the church out on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were saved. So Jesus laid down his life that night in the garden. And we have to lay down our life. We have to make up our mind now. You can't make up your mind in the moment. You can't say, oh, this is what I'm going to do, or that's what I'm not going to do. You have to make up your mind now. Whatever God asks of me, that's what I'm going to do. Okay? So this is what Jesus did. He surrendered to the will of his Father. He said, Lord, not my will, thy will be done. You know, there's some false preaching going on where people are being told that God does not want us to suffer. The devil is a liar. He said, all who will live godly in this time, in this life, shall suffer persecution. So you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer being lied on. You're going to suffer lack. You're going to suffer betrayal. You're going to suffer rejection. You're going to suffer these things, not to the magnitude that Christ suffered, but we will suffer. And the scripture says that we are to be partakers of his sufferings. But God is not asking us to go to the cross. What he said is pick up your cross and follow him. We have to lay down our will and let God crush us. Let him crush us so that he can be glorified, because God cannot use anything that will not surrender or submit to his will. 2 Timothy 2:12 tells us that we must become partakers of Christ's suffering. You see, Gethsemane is the place of torture and tragedy, but it's also the place of victory. Jesus won at Gethsemane, and the devil was defeated right there in that garden. Yes, Christ went all the way to the cross. He was beaten. He was spit upon. They plucked out his beard. They put a crown of thorns on his head. But he had already won in the Garden of Gethsemane. The minute he said to the Father, "Not my will, Lord, thy will be done." So Gethsemane is the place of surrender and submission to God's will. We die at Gethsemane. Now, I want to go on with the second portion of this message, because I mentioned it a moment ago about picking up your cross and following Jesus. Now, in Luke 9:23, it says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Father be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So this verse is talking about denying ourselves. What does it mean to deny ourselves? You know, sometimes we have ambitions, we have these desires, and not all ambitions or desires are bad, but they are just not the will of God for our lives. We have to say, "God, this is what I would like to do, but thy will be done. God, this is the career I'd like to go into, but not my will, Lord. Thy will be done." Because, you see, God knows what's best for us, and Jesus paid the price for us. The Word of God says we are bought with a price. We are not our own. And so we don't have the liberty to do whatever it is that we want to do. Now, God gives every man free will, but we must learn to submit our will to the will of the Father. And so that means picking up your cross and following the Lord. Now, there are so many women who have a desire, and men too, who have a desire to be married. And that's a good desire, but that may not be the will of the Lord for you. So are you going to feel like God has failed you because God didn't send you a spouse? No, you're going to continue in the thing that God has called you to do. Maybe he will send you a helpmate sometime somewhere down the road, and maybe that's not his will for you. So we have to go with the Father and trust, first of all, knowing that he knows what's best for us. Now, that flesh gets to crying out. That's why you got to fast and pray. You got to fast and pray. And the Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." We've got to learn how to wait on God. And if God says no, we've got to accept that and believe that my Father knows what's best for me. So the Bible tells us, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? There's a great cost to be a disciple of Christ. Now, we know that Jesus paid it all, But we have to give up everything to be Jesus' disciple. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 14. I want to read it from Luke chapter 14 because this is what it says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. So many people are focused on the wrong thing. You know, I went to a church workshop one time, and I preached on a Friday night, and then Saturday they were having the workshop. So I decided to stick around and see, you know, what the workshop was going to be about. And they were making posters and things like that. And so I stayed and watched to see what they were doing. And the topic was about being a millionaire. Everybody in the church was talking about being millionaires. And that was their wish list. Everybody had a poster, and they had five things on it that they wanted. And at the top of every couple's list was to become a millionaire. There was only one couple in that entire room who said they wanted a closer walk with God. Now, I said, there's something wrong with this picture because God never promised all of us to be millionaires. He never did that. So we have to learn how to, we have to learn how to surrender and how to submit to the will of God. You see, there are rewards for selling out to Jesus. The disciples of Jesus were men who left everything to follow him. It was Peter who said, Lord, we have left everything. We left all to follow you. And this is what the Lord said to him. He said, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So the first scripture, which was in Luke 14, talked about, except you hate your mother and brother and sister. Well, he's not talking about actual hatred, because Jesus never advocated hatred. He is a God of love. But what he was speaking about is that in comparison to your love for him, it should feel like hatred concerning your mother, father, brother, and sister. In other words, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and all these other things, and all these other people, and all these other desires, and all these other ambitions will pale in comparison to the love that you have for the Father. Okay? So he's not talking about hating them. He's talking about in comparison to the love that you have for him. All right? And then he goes on to say that, you know, if you give up everything for him, he said that you will have these things that you desire, but it's going to come with persecution. Glory be to God. And in the end, eternal life. Let's look at the disciples. They gave up everything that they had to follow Jesus. They left home. They left family. They left businesses. They left everything to follow Jesus. But they received the reward of selling out to Jesus. They learned on in their walk with Jesus the cost of discipleship. So many people have no knowledge of what is the cost of discipleship. I'm going to tell you something. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is going to cost you everything. You have to put God first. Nothing and no one else matters. Jesus paid the price for our salvation, but we have to pay the cost of discipleship. Discipleship will cost you some friends. People will no longer want to be around you because they see the light in you, and the darkness hates the light. They won't be comfortable around you. That's why they don't invite you to the family cookout anymore, because you make them uncomfortable. You know, they want to drink their little drink and smoke their little smoke, and these people profess to be Christians on Sunday morning. And so when you come around, the Spirit of God that's in you ought to make them uncomfortable. And they are uncomfortable in your presence because you are sold out to God. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, it might even cost you jobs. Co-workers won't want to be around you because they also see that light. You see, they won't be able to cuss and tell their dirty jokes. They will invite you to go out to eat with them, but you won't be able to. I'm going to tell you, they used to invite me to go out with them all the time. They used to say, "Janet, you never go out with us." And I told them, "No, I don't. First of all, I don't drink. I'm saved." And they said, "Well, you don't have to drink." You see, I recognize the voice of the enemy. They say, "You don't have to drink. You can just come and sit with us." Now, why would I sit at a table with a bunch of people that is drinking, and they got all these drinks on the table, and when they start taking pictures with their cell phones, it's going to look like I'm drinking too? The Bible said, "Don't let your good be evil spoken of." So, no, I didn't go with them. But you know what? I told them, "You all go ahead," because I had already experienced what they were going through. I had already had my days with alcohol and drugs and all of that. So I told them, "You all go ahead. I'll be here to pray for you when you get back." And one by one, they knocked on my classroom door. These were teachers, and they used to go out and drink every Thursday, and they wanted me to go with them, and I refused to go. I didn't even eat lunch with them. I wouldn't even go in the break room with them because they were in there telling dirty jokes and always talking about their sex life. So I didn't want to hear that. And I ate my lunch in my classroom by myself. So one by one, they would knock on my classroom door and say, "Miss Taylor, can you pray for me about this, that, and the other?" And I prayed for them. I did. I prayed for those teachers. I prayed for them to be saved. I prayed for them to get delivered. I prayed for them. But they were living a life that was contrary to the life that I lived. So we didn't have anything in common except we were all teachers. You see, coworkers, they wanted me to come and be with them. Now, if I had invited them to come and be with me at the church, they would have all found excuses. You see how the devil operates? They try to get you on their side or get you in their environment. No deal. No deal. I wasn't going for it. Okay? So, like I said, they won't be able to cuss and tell their dirty jokes when you're at the table with them. So I just decided not to go. They will hate you because you love Jesus, and they are enemies of the cross. To be a disciple of Christ, you will even offend some family members. Now, I'm telling you, I really went through that. They won't invite you to family celebrations and events because when you walk in the room, they see the glory that's on you. And they hate the light that you carry because it shines and it exposes the darkness in them. I have experienced this. I have not been invited to family functions, family cookouts. You know, they told me one time they told me I could pray at a family cookout, and they said, "But don't pray but a few minutes." They wanted me to say a "Now I lay me down to sleep" type prayer. You know what? I saw that they didn't really want no prayer. And at one family reunion, they broke out the liquor and they started drinking. I got in my car and I told them I'm going to Bible study. And they got mad as a firecracker at me. They wanted to stone me. They wanted to rip me to shreds when I said that. But that's where I was going. I left the family reunion and went to Bible study because when they started drinking and smoking and carrying on, and you know, we already know what's coming next. They're going to be cussing. They're going to start crying. They're going to start digging up the past. Well, I didn't want to be a part of that, so I got in my car and left. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. To be a disciple of Christ, you will have to give up things that you once thought were harmless. But now that your eyes have been opened and you see what an offense they are to the cross, do you know when I got saved, one of the first things that I gave up was watching soap operas. I used to love to watch the soap operas before I got saved. But when I got saved, I saw how even the characters, all of the characters, they were married, but they were sleeping with somebody else's husband. I said, "Woo! I can't watch this." I could not believe that once my eyes were open, I didn't see that before. But once I got saved, I could see plainly. And then I was coming into agreement with it when I was unsaved. I was like, yeah, she needs to be with him. And yeah, he needs to be with this one over here. But these were characters that were married. So I was advocating adultery before I got saved. But once I got saved, I realized I could not watch the soap operas. You see, the Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? I did not realize that the soap operas were porn shows, pretty much. They were having so much sex in the soap operas, I realized I could not watch it. I cut it off, and I never went back to it. Another thing, when God cleaned me up, he cleaned up my mouth. That was the first thing he did. I had a filthy mouth. I mean a filthy mouth. It was raunchy. But God saved me, and he cleaned up my mouth. So I knew I couldn't talk the way I used to talk. I could not. I didn't think those thoughts. I didn't do those things. And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about a desire. I had a desire to live for the Lord. I had a desire to please him. I had a desire to serve him. And that was 28 years ago, and I still have that desire. You see, it will cost you everything to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the closer that you get to Jesus, the less of this world you will desire. I had to give up a whole lot of things. Some of those things really hurt. I mean, the Lord was crushing me. He was crushing me, but I allowed him to do so. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ cost me. It cost me a whole lot. Jesus paid for my salvation, but I paid the price for discipleship, and you will too. You will have to surrender to the Lord by saying to him and saying it not just with your mouth but with your whole heart, Lord, not my will, thy will be done. Submitting to him in reverent submission, laying down all your will, all your dreams, all your ambitions, all your desires, all of your affinities, and all of your affiliations. You know, I had to let go of some friends. I had to forsake them. We were no longer going in the same direction. Even some Christians, we had to part ways, because the Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? And when I had some friends, I realized that we were not going in the same direction. You know, I cried. I said, God, I ain't got no friends. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, some stuff I do. So God was letting me know. He was separating me. He was separating me from kith and kin unto himself. But I had to be willing. I had to allow God to crush me so that he could get the oil out of my life. Glory be to God. And I'm thankful. I am very thankful that I have allowed the Lord to crush me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's still crushing me. He's still getting some stuff out of me. But God knows what he's doing. So I had to lose some friendships. I had to let go of some family. Well, actually, they let go of me. Because when they saw that I was serious about my salvation, you know what they said? Oh, it don't take all that. See, they saw that I was not just a Sunday morning Christian. They saw that I was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all over again. This is 24/7. The life that I preach I live. Why? Because I have allowed myself to surrender to the will of my Father. I have said unto him, not my will, Lord, thy will be done. You know, I had an ambition. I wanted to sing. I wanted to be a singer. And God did let me sing a little bit. You listen to the CD, New Beginning, I Got Joy. But I wanted Hollywood. I wanted to be like some of the big shots out there. But do you know what? God would not allow that. And I thank him to this very day. I had to surrender to the will of my Father. You see, had I become what I wanted to become, I wouldn't be who God wanted me to be. I wouldn't be who I am today. You see, I'm sold out to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm sold out to him. And so, you know, I sing to the Lord now. I sing here in my house. I sing to the Lord. I don't have to have the lights. I don't have to have the action and all of that. I don't have to have the cameras on me. It's just me and Jesus. It's just me and him. But I've sold out to him, and I'm thankful. I am thankful that the Lord did not let me do my own thing, that he caused me, he put a desire in me to surrender to him. All right? The last thing I want to say to the people of God is that we have to be willing to give up everything for the sake of the cross. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to allow God to crush you. Let him crush you. Let him crush out those nasty attitudes, that mean spirit. You know, some Christians are very mean-spirited. We have to let God, you know, we've got some issues. We got to let God crush those issues out of us. Get those attitudes out of us. Some of those mindsets that we have, even some of the sayings that we have got to allow God to get those things out of us. And the only way it's going to happen is through the crushing. Let the Lord crush you today. Are you ready? Are you ready? The Bible says, count up the cost and see if you really want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because if you do, you're going to go through that crushing. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to cry, but you won't die. It will hurt. It will cause you some pain, but you'll get over that because you will gain eternal life. So I just wanted to talk to the people of God tonight about a place called Gethsemane. A place called Gethsemane is a place of suffering. It is a place of surrender, but it is also a place of victory because you will be so glad that you allowed God to crush you and that you submitted to it and you surrendered to him by saying, not my will, Father, thy will be done. May the Lord bless you. May heaven smile upon you. And I thank you for this opportunity to share with you. Again, this is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. We can be reached. Our website is www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. That's www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. We can be reached by email at jet245@msn.com. The phone number here is 336-575-0206. You can go on our website. You can leave a prayer request there, or you can contact, you can go to cdbaby.com or iTunes to get the CD, A New Beginning, or I Got Joy by Janet Taylor. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. Thank you again for allowing me to be with you all on tonight. Amen.
Stand by 2 minutes. We're going to come back for opening sessions for questions.
This is Derek Prince with a word for you from the Word. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Those are words of very practical wisdom. There's a proverb in the Latin language. If I quote it to you in Latin, probably most of you wouldn't understand, but it's very brief. It says, bis dat quaecito dat, which means, he gives twice, who gives quickly. What wisdom there is in that. When a person is in need, and you have the ability to supply that need, and the person is worthy of your help, don't hesitate, don't wait, don't hold back. If you give quickly, it's like giving twice. If you keep them waiting and frustrate them, then your gift will not really be blessed the way it should be blessed. So don't withhold that which is good from those who deserve it. Don't say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow when you have it with you. There's a kind of stinginess. There's a kind of lack of total honesty there, which somehow spoils the act of giving. Remember that. He gives twice who gives quickly. Next time you have the opportunity to give, don't hold back, don't hesitate, don't do a lot of mental calculation. Just respond to the need of your neighbor and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Give without hesitation. Give without any reservation. Just give freely. Because as you give, God will give back to you.
Make your contributions to www.livedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand corner. Please sow a seed to us to help us with our legal fees. www.livedeliverance.com on the lower left-hand corner of our PayPal site. God bless you and thank you. Chaplain John Durden, you have the mic.
Amen. I love the testimony while she was teaching and giving some of her personal testimony. It brought back a lot of memories, you know, for me as well, because the same thing happened to me when I got saved. I had buddy cousins who were the same age. We were like in our 20s. And they said, John, we see you kind of religious, but we religious like you, but we not as religious. And, you know, then I had to explain that there's a difference between being religious and being saved. You know, they didn't want to hear it. And finally, they started leaving me out of family sessions and reunions because they feel uncomfortable. When they light up the cigarettes, I point and look, and they look at me and go, oh, Lord, you know, kind of a thing. I really enjoy it, and that is true, because if you're really real, the people will see it. They will really see it. God bless you, my sister. God bless you.
Sister Janet, tell us a powerful revelation you got from the Lord, special when it came to the revelation of the first Adam in the garden, and the second one died in the garden. God gave show that to you. You're a wonderful teacher. I enjoy working with you. You're the most humble woman I've ever saw, and I respect you, and I'm thank you for helping me out, because this gives me a chance to take a break, and I thank you, and looking forward to seeing you next Thursday.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you all on your program. It is an honor. It is such an honor, Apostle. And thank you for those comments, Brother John. Thank you so much. All the glory belongs to God.
Amen. Right.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you.
God bless everybody. I am, for the first time in 6 months, is going to bed at 7 o'clock. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.